Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, we're glad you did that. Welcome aboard. You're going to be glad you did because we got our good buddy Richard DeKayser back on the show. Richard is one of the country's top economists, has been doing that for a long time. He's the president of Woodley Park Research, which is an economic consulting company. He's got some other things going on, but he's been a member of our Brain Trust since 2001. And he's here to talk to us about what the economy's looking like and what he thinks is going to be happening as we head off into the future. Richard DeKayser, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always. Richard, I've been a couple of things to you and I haven't talked about this in terms of what I've been thinking about. I believe that you hear about this W recovery or the U shape or the hockey stick recovery or a V recovery, whatever it is, the double dip, whatever. I think for the next 2 to 3 years, maybe even a little bit longer, we're going to be on what I call a hacksaw recovery. A little bit up, a little bit down, a little bit up, a little bit down. No great news, no really bad news, but the hacksaw blade is inclined upward on the out, you know, as we go out. And so that's kind of what I'm thinking. Not a W, not a double dip, but just a little bit of, if you know what a hacksaw blade looks like, folks, little bitty teeth, little teeth up and little holes down. And so what do you think, Richard?
I think that's very possible. I haven't heard that one, but I'm gonna use it.
Only from me could you get the hacksaw recovery scenario. That's what people come here for, Richard.
Well, you know, one of the reasons we could see something like that is that there's a lot of very critical transitions at play here in the economy today. Basically, we've got an economy now that's enjoying a tremendous amount of stimulus from the federal government, whether it's through the way that the Federal Reserve is keeping interest rates
hundreds of billions, maybe trillions.
For sure, trillions, over a trillion, and stimulus spending and so forth. So the whole theory, which I think is valid and appears to be working effectively, is that at some point these government-induced means of stimulus give way to a more private sector-led support for growth. But that transition is a very delicate one, very iffy, and if it doesn't come off smoothly, you could see some backsliding before the economy lifts itself up again. So I wouldn't go so far as to predict that, but I think that it's a very meaningful risk.
So the handoff from government stimulus to the marketplace taking back over, that transition, as you're saying, the how we weave those two pieces of cloth together, that seam could be problematic. And it reminds me, Richard, and this is kind of going to tell my age a little bit. My audience knows that this is my seventh recession. I've told them that many times. And the first one was 1969. I actually was in college, and I got laid off because of it. But I also wrote a paper on it while I was in college. And here was the cause of the 69 recession. The government stopped spending money on the Vietnam War.
Yep.
And where they had been, all during the 60s, they'd been spending a lot of money on the Vietnam War. That was pumping up the economy. They stopped in 69, and that literally caused the economy to drop off into a recession.
Well, that's...
So that's the scenario you were talking about.
Exactly. Let me give you just one piece of this, and there's several, but just one, for example, is the Federal Reserve has been spending almost $1.3 trillion buying debt of various sorts, mostly mortgage-backed securities. And the whole idea here is that by doing that, it helps keep mortgage rates low, and that in turn helps people buy houses, which gets us out of the morass of the housing bust.
Right.
Well, that program comes to an end in March. So the question is, will private investors who have been few and far between, will they at that point be confident enough that the housing recovery, which is underway, is strong enough that they'll start buying these securities, step in and take the place of the Fed, or will they still be skittish and the Fed's program ending basically means interest rates go up and potentially housing goes down?
Right.
Now, I have an opinion on that, but I don't think anyone knows for sure, and that's where the sawtooth scenario really gets some credibility.
Mm-hmm. Is there a market today for mortgage-backed securities that besides the Fed?
Well, sure there is. It's still a very deep, liquid, and no longer the largest market in the world, but second largest behind U.S. Treasury securities.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a market, but such as it is, it's not what it was years ago.
Right.
So for example,
and I'm sorry, and probably for good reason. Hold on to that thought, Richard. Got to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 till. Right back with Richard DeCaser. Some more of his analysis, of his expert analysis on what the economy is doing and where it's going. That's one of the things we're going to talk about. 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
You don't know. Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me, little Otis Redding, bringing us back. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance, if you aren't already there. And you'll find lots of things there that will help you anywhere from 5 seconds to 15 minutes, regardless of how much time you have or whatever is on your mind. We've got something there at smallbusinessadvocate.com that will help you. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And also, if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Richard DeCaser is with us. He's our good friend and one of the outstanding economists in our brain trust, the president of Woodley Park Research. And we're talking about, and is that woodleyparkresearch.com?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay, so check that out, folks, and see what Richard's up to. Richard, we're talking about the economy, and you were just telling us a little bit about all the stimulus money the Fed's putting in, the government's putting in. The government's still meeting out money to the marketplace. They've got billions more they want to put out there, and that's going to stimulate the economy, but at what cost, Richard? And is all this debt, you know, are we benefiting from it now artificially from all this government spending, and later, sort of like, you know, going on a trip that we have a great time on, but all on borrowed money? At some point in time, the piper has to be paid, Richard. And
sure.
And this economy is, I mean, Richard, when you and I started working together, actually after we worked together, we've been together now on the show. You've been with me about 8 or 9 years. But probably 4 or 5 years ago, the federal debt was $5 trillion.
Right.
Now it's almost on par with our GDP. It's about $12 trillion. In just over 4 or 5 years, Richard, that cannot stand for long.
Thank you. It's a terrible, terrible problem, and I'm glad to hear you.
It can't stand. I mean, I wasn't upset at $5 trillion. I said, okay, guys, look, companies have debt, you know, leverage is good, but this is not leverage. This is drunken sailors, as Reagan would call it.
Well, sure. Now, the whole question of how much debt we run and such is very important. And the problem is, I don't actually condemn running deficits when the economy is in as desperate a strait as it has been. For example, earlier this year, most of the people I was talking to were so terrified that they wanted government action and they wanted someone
right.
to help support the economy. My concern is this: when the economy rights itself, and this has been past practice for some decades now, when the economy is operating at full employment, the unemployment rate's down 4 or 5% or thereabouts, we continue to run large debt.
Yeah.
That's called a structural deficit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between a cyclical deficit, which is essentially a response to tough economic times,
mm-hmm.
and very important for helping to sort of smooth out the business cycle, but structural deficits are our very biggest problem. And those have just gotten larger and larger over time for the better part of the last decade, even in the best of years.
Because there's no leadership in Washington. There's no discipline in Washington. We've got a political class, Republicans and Democrats, who basically think that the best way that they can keep stay in power is to keep throwing money back at their states,
right.
and that's been working to a large degree.
you know, I guess
for them,
offer a little bit of hope. There can be moments, and unfortunately, these moments only seem to arise in a crisis when the two parties get together and they make all the tough decisions. So, for example, in the 90s, we had a Republican-dominated Congress and we had a Democratic president.
Right.
And they passed these incredibly stringent budget rules. PAYGO, for example,
mm-hmm.
meaning you can't cut taxes unless you cut spending. And
right. They also passed welfare reform, which we benefited from, still benefiting from. Yeah.
So, you know, there may come a time, and unfortunately these times, as I said, only seem to arise in the context of a crisis, because making those tough political decisions outside the context of a crisis is very difficult and just doesn't seem to happen. Getting back to your point, yes, political leadership is in short supply. And you're right. I mean, to be concerned about our tremendous level of government debt at this point is certainly reasonable.
Well, and it seems that our government just wants to add more to it. I mean, the health care reform is going to add over $1 trillion to the debt. And to the deficit and other issues that I don't see anybody understanding what the problem is and coming up with some kind of a plan to get us out of this. I mean, it's very concerning to me, and I'll tell you, Richard, I believe it's one of the reasons the economy is still languishing, because when I talk to small business owners, I don't hear anybody getting excited about taking the next step, embracing the next opportunity. There's still a lot of concern out there about where this economy is going.
Well, sure, but I gotta add two comments. Number one, healthcare reform is going to be tremendously expensive. However, it does not, at least if you believe the Congressional Budget Office, it will not add to the deficit at all. Actually, at least the latest Senate proposal, which they quote unquote scored. Is not only deficit neutral, but actually pays down the deficit now.
But does anybody believe that what they're proposing now and what the CBO scored it at is what's going to wind up happening? I mean, you know that by the time these laws are promulgated and politicians keep adding little accessories along the way, you know, this thing's going to get out of hand, Richard.
Well, it could change, but my only point is that at least the proposed legislation as it currently stands isn't a deficit a problem.
The marketplace needs to be in charge of the healthcare system, folks, and in my opinion, Richard, because when companies have to work off of their financial statements, and if they don't operate well, then they don't last. They go bankrupt, and then there's another company to pick it up.
Yep.
We can't afford to have our country go bankrupt, and that's what I'm afraid we're headed towards. It's possible, folks. It could happen. I don't think it will. I hope it won't, but it could. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with us. We're visiting with our good friend Richard DeKayser, president of and founder of Woodley Park Research. Richard, tell us a little bit about Woodley Park.
Sure. Woodley Park Research, a Washington, D.C.-based consulting company working principally for financial service firms, doing investment research, macroeconomic forecasting, and housing-related analytics.
Yeah. And, folks, you can find Richard at woodleyparkresearch.com. And, Richard, you got another project. Is it too soon to talk about that?
No, not at all. It's called Home Value Protection Company. This is just a startup. In fact, it doesn't even exist at this point.
Yeah.
Except on paper and in our staging ground website. But the whole concept is this. People who are worried about falling house prices, and maybe you're not buying a house because of that, can enter into a contract with Home Value Protection Company. And that contract will hedge or protect them from the risk of falling house prices. So for, say, 1% or 2% of the purchase price, either paid in a one-time installment or a one-time payment or monthly installments, they then could, if they sold their house, say, 2 or 3 years later, and during that time, market conditions deteriorated,
right,
the contract would make them whole on any decline in value.
But if the house goes up, you don't benefit from that. All you got is the premium, basically.
Well, that is the whole benefit.
Exactly. All right, so it's interesting, folks. People are creating products to help you hedge against falling real estate prices, and that's what one of the things Rich is working on. And so you'll keep us posted on how that goes, Richard. We'll want to know more about how that industry, so to speak, is going. Richard, my audience knows I'm a Pollyanna. I'm a pathological optimist, but I've got to be honest with them when I talk to them about what they're going to have to do, what I'm going to have to do as a small business owner, what you're going to have to do as a small business owner over the next year or two or three. And I have to tell them, when I'm being honest with them, is that, in my opinion, we're not going to be singing Happy Days Are Here Again in 2010. We may not be singing it in 2011. We got 17 million people who are either underemployed or unemployed. Until we get those people absorbed back into the marketplace, you know, I don't see how the economy is going to be rocking and rolling. Now, that's not great news. I do think we're headed into a recovery. I think the economy's going up. I just think it's going to be a very deliberate process, and we're all going to have to keep operating pretty tightly. What do you think?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, you know, the reality is we've got, as you said, tremendous unemployment, 10.2% as of last month. Even if you get exuberant growth, you get GDP growth 4 or 5%, and you get it for a year over time, that's still not going to drive the unemployment rate below 9%. Mm-hmm. 9% is terrible. So I think it's a good news, bad news outlook. I actually think that the prospects for growth overall in 2010 are pretty good, but the difference is that it's not going to be sufficient to fix all of our problems, such as unemployment in particular. And as a result, looking back on 2010, 1 year from now, I think we'll be looking at a mixed picture. We'll be thankful that we've emerged from the recession and that growth has improved and profits have improved and employment has improved. But we'll still have far too many Americans out of work, and that will take years, literally, to work back.
One of the things, Richard, that's not going to be in evidence this time that has been in evidence in past recoveries is not only the availability of credit, but an attitude about leverage. Both of those things have been significantly reset. And so any opportunity to have what you talked about, that 4 or 5% growth, in the past, when we've gotten that, it's been because people had access to credit and they had an appetite to go out and borrow money to buy a car, to buy a television or a house or whatever. But I think the attitude and the fundamentals in the credit market are not there, and I think that's going to hold things back. What do you think?
Well, I think that is a perfectly accurate description of where we are right now, but I don't think that's going to be where we are a year from now.
Really?
I think in past business cycles, credit is extremely tight today. To get a mortgage, for example, you got to show 2 years of W-2s, mm-hmm. and all these sort of conditions that never applied 2-3 years ago. And that's one of the reasons the economy is in such desperate straits. You used to find credit card invitations in your mailbox every morning, and now you can't get one if you try. But that will change, in my view, and that is to say that when the economy improves, lenders begin to poke their head out of the hole. They begin to provide credit more easily, and that credit tends to support the economy. And basically what we went through over the past couple of years was a vicious cycle for falling asset prices, decreased lenders' collateral,
yep.
made them tighter with money.
So I've got to wrap it up. I've got to wrap it up, Richard. So
the other way.
I hear what you're saying, I hope you're right, and we'll have you back and we'll check on your position in the future. Hey, Richard, thanks for being here. Richard DeKayser, ladies and gentlemen, president of Woodley Park Research. Got to go for this hour. I'll be back after the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.